At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey folks, this is Jason Lewis, the producer of the From the Shadows podcast. I just want to remind you about our website, fromtheshadowspodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. We would appreciate it if you like and follow. Also, join our discussion group on Facebook called After the Shadows. We have a Twitter feed. Please follow us on Twitter. It can be found with @podcast_from. Follow us on Instagram at From the Shadows Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go to the search bar of YouTube and put From the Shadows Podcast, and please subscribe to that channel. We are also on the Odyssey Radio Network, and we can be found there at odyssey1.com. We're still on the traditional podcatchers that everybody loves to listen to us on. We get a lot of feedback, so please rate the podcast and communicate with whether you're on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Google Podcasts. We're there, and we appreciate it when you leave comments for us. We also have a Patreon page. It can be found at www.patreon.com/from the shadows. You can receive books, stickers, coffee mugs, and special content just for our Patreon subscribers. Check it out for yourself and see what packages that we have to offer. Well, that's all I have for you right now, folks, and thanks for being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family. So with that being said, let's get this episode started.
So, this is Howler's officially a Christmas show.
Yes, yeah? It is.
Yeah, it's our Christmas show,
without a doubt.
And you know, as I sit here and we record this, and Christy's really, really big on. I think we got 7 different Christmas trees in the house of various sizes and decoration. I mean, it's, you can't go into a room other than a bathroom, and there's a tree in every room in this house,
as it should be.
And they're all lit up. She does a really good job of decorating and stuff, but you know, back when I was, it got me thinking, okay, I mean, I grew up in the 70s as a little kid, and we didn't have much, okay? And
nobody did back in them days.
It did, really. You know what? It really didn't seem like people had a whole lot of stuff. You know, even now, the people that don't seem to have the means still got a lot of stuff. You know, we didn't have a lot of stuff.
Well, hey, and, let's not. That sounds like a segue into a political conversation we better not have. But go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
And the definition of poor has evolved over the years.
I think so. But so, and I don't want to be a downer because it's Christmas, and I guess I shouldn't say they were the worst gifts I ever got, but they were the strangest gifts I ever got. Okay. And so, first off, like I come, my mom's side of the family. I think we talked, you know, about my family reunion we have, you know, at the campground. It's all my mom's family. Yeah. And it's big. So two generations ago, basically, when my grandparents still, when they lived in town, they moved off the farm into town into a split level house, which I still can't figure out why they lived in a split level house. And my grandpa had walked two canes.
Maybe grandma was trying to get rid of him.
He's taking 45 minutes to get from the bedroom all the way down to the basement to shower. But anyway, so we would always, that's a, you know, that was a Christmas tradition. Christmas Eve, we always gathered. Everybody came from Indiana, from all over Ohio to my grandparents' house. And my grandpa and grandma, even though they sold the farm, didn't have a lot of money still. They did better than most. And my grandma loved, she was one of those ladies that loved going to the junk store. Okay.
Sure.
And so you'd go in a spare bedroom in her house and she'd have, I mean, there's probably 30 or 40 of us that she was buying Christmas gifts for. So it was always just, you know, kind of junk, rinky dink, dollar here, dollar there stuff. But anyways, it was just fun to. And so I remember the one Christmas, you know, and if one cousin got a flashlight, every cousin got a flashlight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wasn't. Oh yeah. They don't want somebody getting something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we're sitting there, we're all digging into our bag, and I'm seeing, you know, my male cousins there, they're all getting wallets. Okay. And my sister and some, you know, they're all getting little purses. I reached down there and I'm thinking, I don't have a wallet. You know, this might be kind of cool. Might be my first wallet. I pull out my wallet and I turn it over and it's a Minnie Mouse wallet. And I was like, well, I don't know what Grandma's insinuating here. That
were you in transition or was you? That was before people got confused like they do nowadays, right?
I think the only person that was confused is Grandma, that maybe she dropped somebody's Minnie Mouse wallet in my bag in place of my maybe Winnie the Pooh or Tigger or Peter Pan or something. I don't know. But
so what'd you do?
I kept the wallet. I mean, I lost it. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I didn't want my grandma to feel bad. My mom still laughs about it to this day.
What was your other bad present?
Well, the year before I was, the summer of my senior year in high school, my dad decides he's going to put a pond in at our house. Okay. You know, so here he could have put it in 10 years earlier. I could have grown up with a pond, swimming in a pond, fishing. But he waits until right before my senior year in high school. And so for Christmas that year, I opened this, you know, my dad never got his gifts. It was always up to my mom. My dad was so excited. He, you know, and I've talked about before, he's a pretty tough mm-hmm. dude. Well, I open it up and it's a pair of ice skates. Okay. Now, mind you, I couldn't roller skate, let alone ice skate.
Well, I was just thinking, my gosh, did you have that much extended cold weather that you could?
We did. We did back then in Ohio. Okay. And in fact, when I opened them up, I could have went right out and ice skate. But keep in mind that I had never done it before. And I'm right in the middle of my senior year basketball season. We're like the number two ranked, three ranked team in the state of Ohio. And I said, I mean, out loud, I'm not going to use these. If I got hurt, or broke my ankle or something, I go, our basketball coach would have killed me. And you'd have thought I dropped a bucket of scalding water on my dad's head. Because
by God, he grew up with no skates. And there was a many a time he didn't get nothing.
That's right.
And now you know what I mean?
he snatched those ice skates,
yeah,
boxing all away from me and said, okay, I'll take them back. And it wasn't like he took him back and got me something else. He just took him back, and I never.
That's because at one time before, hey, one time before he was hell warmed over badass, he wanted just to be a nice skater and be a nice guy. And you know what? You know, that there was people in that generation that got sifted out, and he probably, no doubt, I didn't ask you, did he go to Vietnam? Did your dad go to Vietnam?
No, he entered.
He was smart enough not to.
No, he actually got into the Navy before he was really old enough to.
Yeah.
And then ended up going AWOL, and the FBI tracked him across the, showed up one day at my grandparents' house, and they thought he was still in the Navy because he was like out in San Diego, and here he had went AWOL and was on a sheep farm out in the middle of the like Montana or something, and they had no idea.
So they found him and decided he needed to do different.
He was like 16 or 17. He wasn't old enough to join. They drug him back home, said, "We're not going to do anything to you, but just don't join any more armed services."
Yeah, you can't come back. Well, that's an even better story. That, because I was going to say, my old man ended up over there, and of course he tells people now. People say he don't talk about it much. He's not that guy that drives around with his baseball cap or his shit on his truck. But he said, if I had to do it again, I'd have went to Canada and hung out with hippie chicks or something. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have done what I done. You know what I mean? And but those kind of generation, when you were a kid in the 50s and the 60s, it was just a lot. I mean, when those kids were poor, they were poor. It ain't like kids nowadays.
Pair ice skates. Probably you're right. Probably for him. In where he lived in town, those kids got together and played and stuff. I mean, here I was all by myself out, on 4 acres, 20 minutes from any of my friends. I wasn't going to go out and skate on a pond by myself, but you're right. To my dad, that would have probably been the greatest thing he ever got as a kid. He could have went and played and skated. See, now you're making, me feel bad about, making that crack about the skating to my dad.
Well, I mean, it's his ghost that haunts you, not mine. You know what I mean? I don't even know. You've lost my train of thought with it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I
forgot what Christmas story I was going to tell. And.
But I mean, on all these years, those are only two gifts that stand out that left me scratching my head. Like, really? Why did I get those?
I never got any bad gifts. I can't even think of a single bad gift at Christmas I ever got.
Well,
schedule at work, but I mean, as far as stuff, there was a period of time, I shouldn't even tell this because they might try to indict him historically, but from the time I was like 11 to the time I was 16, my old man gave me a new gun for Christmas every year.
Really?
He gave me I got every one of them right here in the safe beside me as I do this podcast. He gave me a .22 410 Stevens Savage over and under. And then the next year he gave me a Remington 788 243. And the next year he gave me a Stevens 67 pump 12 gauge. And then the next year he gave me a .22 410 over and under. And the next year he gave me a 243. And the next year he gave me a 54 caliber muzzle loader. And the next year he gave me, there's something else. He gave me a whole, he had to make sure we were all situated for the end of the world.
How are you able to sight those guns with that silver spoon in your mouth? I mean, how'd you manage that?
You just push it out the side as you're shooting. That's what you do. You know what I mean? It's pretty damn easy. You just push it out the side.
I can tell you Christmas sure has changed since I was a kid, that's for sure.
But we would cut down cedar trees, not even pine trees. So when I talk about going out and getting cedar tree, my mom would send me and my big brother go out and get a tree, and you'd take a double bit axe or single bit axe. We had double bits most of the time. And I hate to sound like the Griswolds, but they don't look that big in the woods. And when you go to cut them down, nasty, sticky sap all over your fingers. And then you'd get there in the house and try to, it wouldn't even close. And then we didn't even have a,
There's you can still drive out to the property that I grew up on. And, one of the live Christmas trees we had when I was probably 7, 8, I mean, it must be 100 feet tall now, sitting there at the corner of the property. We took it out after Christmas, planted it at the corner of the property.
And it worked?
Oh, well, it wasn't one we cut. You know, obviously it was in the, with the ball root.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, it's still there to this day.
Well, you 40, know what Aldo Leopold said.
Oh, what did he say?
The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time is right now. yeah, we'd have those sticky old things. Didn't even have a thing to put it on there. We'd have a 5-gallon bucket, and we'd have to fill it full of rocks, creek gravel and stuff, to try to keep it in there, you know, and dump a little water in it. And, oh, you couldn't put it up too early because it'd be brown. Talk about fire hazard.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, I didn't even know, like, to me, people that had fake trees were just didn't really believe in Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know anybody that had a fake tree till I grew up.
Well, we'd go to that, you know, my fondest memories there at my grandma Huntsberger's, but she had a fake tree. The thing was, it was white.
Oh, she it's like a fake snow tree.
Yeah, one of those fake white trees.
She had money, didn't she?
Uh-huh. I don't know about that, but as a matter of fact, I think it stayed up all year down in the lower part of the house.
Why wouldn't it?
That's what I'm
saying. If I had a fake tree covered with snow, that's a good segue back to snow. We just talked about Coke on last week's show. Now we're back to snow. Snowblind. That's right. Not that you get off topic here, but I was trying to explain to my kids the other day. I did not eat a salad bar. You're talking about nobody knowing anybody that had a fake tree, and everybody's got a fake tree now. I remember not even – do you remember going out for real pizza like it was a big deal? Like the only pizza we had growing up was either that stuff at high school that was like rectangle stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pizza day was the square pizza and peanut butter bar. That was like the combo. That was the combo.
Or my neighbor Rusty's mom made a homemade pizza where she roll that dough out. You know, and I think it came in like a kit. Does that sound right?
Chef Boyardee.
You know what I mean. And if you were lucky, she'd brown a bunch of hamburger. And you'd put that on there and sprinkle a bunch of cheese. And I mean, it'd just be this big, big conglomeration of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember two things happened. I remember Godfather's Pizza, I think, was the first pizza joint in my town. It wasn't, I mean, there was probably, I guess, Pizza Quick. There was a couple Greek, Italian joints, Greek deals.
You had a place called Pizza Quick?
Yeah, in the ghetto, right there by the foot. We called it the foot. It was actually...
I'm sorry, I'm not eating any food where quick is in the title.
Okay, and it's spelled, it's PIZZA-KWIK, Pizza Quick. And it was literally, not figuratively, literally 300 yards from a set of inner city basketball courts that they called the foot. Actually, they weren't quite the foot. The foot was another block around the corner. Most of the true foot is gone. They tore it down and put tennis courts there. Now, you want to talk about, I normally don't talk about racism, overt racism, but whatever city planner who tore up basketball courts that had been there for 65 years and put these elaborate palatial sets of tennis courts that I've never seen anybody on, the only reason they would have done that was to keep the natives at bay. That's the only reason. So, this was an old Pizza Quick was an old white German, like World War II, like come back from from Iwo Jima and open a pizza joint, and the city swallows you up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the only people in there was old white people taking carry out. It'd be full of brothers or cops, like the sheriff I worked for. He loves sitting in pizza quick. And in the city guys, you know, the city police officers, I just remember vividly. Sometimes they'd say, dude, do not sit with the sheriff, because we would go to meetings or we would do something and he would want to, hey, let's go to pizza quick. It's open late. And he would sit in a front window, right? Because this thing only had like four tables, all of them along the sidewalk with a front window that just says drive by on it, you know, basically.
I'm looking up pizza quick right now.
And they would say, don't.
Oh my God, it's still around.
Yes. I don't know. Is it still in business though? Because it looked pretty run down last time I went by the other day.
It's got a food. They got a food truck.
There you go. That's what I thought. I don't think they're at the house anymore. But you know, my sheriff would just say, hey, he's a man of the people. You know, he's a man of the people.
I'm telling you what.
Remember, telling you, not to get on a sheriff story, but I'm going to, since that's usually my forte. Remember last week I told him about the kid that was talking making $600 a day, but I happened to be talking to him about a shooting.
Yes.
Last week I told you, you know, he got jammed. I was with the sheriff when the guy narked him out. There was a kind of a wino dude that always laid around, and I was going to say his name. I don't want to, because he's got to be dead by now. But there's an old black man that was just always around. You know what I mean? And they left him alone because he was just an old school gangster. I mean, like a true, I don't even know my American gangster kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Al Capone. Down on his luck.
He was a gangster from the 60s, like the sheriff and some of the old guys had talked about how formidable he was in the late 60s, early 70s. But by the time the early 90s rolled around, he was still gigantic, but he was a gigantic, frail, suffering from diabetes, sleeping on park benches or bus benches or wherever. You know what I mean? And these city cops, they had a double shooting over in the kind of in the project, and the detectives jacked around for about a day or two or three and couldn't come up with leads or couldn't. And the sheriff wheels up in his unmarked car and gets out, and he smoked menthol cigarettes. What kind? Salems, which I always thought was a girl brand, but whatever. Salem's from the bottom of the pack. Now, do you understand what the bottom of the pack means? Because I had to explain this to my daughter the other day.
I don't know anything about smoking cigarettes.
So cigarettes, the end you open is the filtered end, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So if you've got an open pack of cigarettes and say, hey, bum me a cigarette or give me a cigarette or whatever, when I tap them out, your finger is going to be close to the unused filters. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yep.
So when you get in these blue collar factories or guys in the ghetto, they open them on the bottom, the opposite end. So when people are bumming cigarettes, when they shake one out to them, they're not getting their dirty fingers on my filter that I might use on my next cigarette or something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if you ever see a dude that's got his cigarettes open from the wrong end, which you can't do with boxes, you got to do soft packs. But anyhow. He bums this dude a cigarette or two and says, tell me a story. Tell me what happened. Tell me who shot these people. What do you think? And this guy starts to tell him a little bit. And the sheriff says, you know some more? And he goes, man, I'd like to, sheriff, but I'm in a bad way. Well, what do you need? Oh, man, you think you can give me the rest of that pack of cigarettes? And the sheriff says, well, yeah, hell yes. You tell me what I need to know. And, you know. And before it was all said and done, we drove up to the end of the block. There was a liquor store. And he bought this guy, I don't remember, I'm going to say Boone's Farm, but it wasn't. He bought him a pretty decent, like a $10, $12 bottle of wine and
Irish Rose
and a carton of cigarettes. And I remember going in there
Must have been some good information. Good information.
The clerk, you know what the clerk? The clerk tells the sheriff, I don't think I can sell you this wine. And he goes, why not? And he goes, because you're in uniform. And he said, huh? And the guy goes, dude, there's got to be a rule against selling cops a bottle of wine in uniform. And the sheriff said, well, first of all, I'm not a cop. I'm the sheriff. And the guy goes, well, what's the difference? And I just remember him. He looks at me and he goes, if you don't sell me that fucking wine, I'm going to show you the difference. And he just sold him a bottle of wine and a carton of cigarettes. And we took it up and gave it to this old guy. And he fingered this kid fingered two, you know, both shooters and the car. I don't remember if he told him. I don't remember, think he had his last name, but he had their street names in the car. And within, you know, 6-10 hours, they were in jail. We were talking to them in jail.
Well,
but that was they don't act like that anymore. You know, who knows? They don't train, raise cops like that. They don't train cops like that. They don't. But yeah.
Well, I'm gonna jump back to pizza quick here. I found an old menu. Okay. Two 16-inch jumbo pizzas for $23.90.
There you go.
I don't know how old this menu is, but some of the their specialty pizzas, okay? They had the Quick Deluxe, the Quick Veggie, the Meat Lovers, the Shrimp, which in the middle in Jefferson City, Missouri might be sketchy. Okay, well, to get
that's
shrimp,
okay,
but
because you know why? Because I think they had 3-2 beer. If that, you know, there's a difference between 3-2 and 5%, right? Most people, I don't really, you know what I mean? Only certain places could sell the real beer. You know what I'm talking about? You're not a drinker.
No, I'm not, but I understand. I used to work in the drug.
So that 3-2 snake oil that they sold would kill anything you could get from the bad shrimp.
Well, that explains the last specialty pizza they had was the anchovy. So
that
explains.
Uh-huh. That's because on Friday you can't eat meat. You know, God's people there. Yeah, that anchovy pizza.
Well, I think if I could somehow figure out how to get a Pizza Quick T-shirt, that might be the best Christmas present I've ever got.
Do they have merch? I don't know.
I looked. The food truck doesn't have any merch, but. You know, if we got anybody in Jefferson City that knows.
If I was still in Minneapolis, I could take a picture. We had some Korean girls over by the airport, and they could make whatever picture you wanted. They'd put it on there. No trademark, no nothing. Yeah.
Jeez. Well, speaking of that, we're trying to find some T-shirt people for the new line of shirts that are going to come out.
I think the George Floyd protesters burnt them out, but.
Well, we probably aren't getting them from Minneapolis anyway.
Huh?
Well, I said, I don't think we're getting them from Minneapolis anyway.
So. Well, I mean, that's okay. Nobody down here can sew. In the Ozarks, you got some iron on. Maybe we get some patches. Some iron on patches.
So you know, we'll get back on the Christmas subject here before we close out, since it is our Christmas show. Is there anything that you know wishing for Christmas, or you're hoping for?
Yeah, just peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know.
That's got to be pretty standard, right? I would say.
Well, I was going to say, I just hope I wake up the next day, you know. But then again, that might be a curse if I have a stroke and I'm screwed up or something. So I quit worrying about that. I don't know.
I was going to say, it might be a little extreme.
Well, you never know. You know, I'm getting older now, and it could happen. I mean, I read the obituaries every once in a while. It's like, dude, I remember those people, you know?
Hey, look, I walked up on one of my houses in the one neighborhood I deliver mail to, and it's been, you know, I've said it before, it's been very busy. Okay, we've been working 10 hours, and so get towards the end of the day, and you're just kind of trying to get done, and so this neighborhood is towards the end of the day, and I haven't been paying too much attention. And I get there, and this guy I know from the fire department's cleaning out this house. There's a big dumpster there. I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, didn't you see? And I'm like, no. And he goes, he died last week. The guy that lived at the house. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he tells me that he, this guy had this dog that just hated my guts. Little terrier would just always yip at me, chase after me and stuff. And, he said, yeah, he took his dog out for a walk like last Tuesday, walked around the block, came home and sat down on the couch and keeled over dead.
Some people are just lucky that way.
I know. Well, the thing was, is I was in the neighborhood and he walked by me with his dog right before he walked in the house and keeled over dead.
You might have been. So let me tell you, this dovetails in with the normal show. If you're not, if that ghost doesn't come back to get you, there's no such thing.
Well, but
I mean, if that what happened to the dog?
I don't know, but I'd buy that if it was the dog that died.
Yeah. If that ghost doesn't come back to get you, I don't know what's going to.
That's what I'm saying.
You know. But I don't know. Maybe he ate a pizza quick on the way home or something. I don't know.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.